Good morning and welcome to Storylines on Hundreds Bay Radio, 88.7 FM and online at MuskokaOnline.com. I'm your host, Christine Cowley. Our guest in the studio this morning will be familiar to many of you. Robin Clipsham is an actor, director, writer, and theater educator. And Robin has spent most of her life in theater and much of her life in Muskoka. Welcome, Robin.
Hello. Thank you. Nice to be here.
So pleased to have you. And thank you for squeezing us in with your crazy schedule.
Fun.
Wonderful to have you. Can't wait to hear about all the things you're doing and share that with our listeners. Now, Robin, a lot of the work you do on and off stage, we've talked about improvisational theater, and we had a conversation a few weeks back, and then I said, oh, you got to come on the show, please come on the show. And I asked you whether writing improv is an oxymoron, and you gave me an emphatic no.
Yeah, I think I should clarify that, especially for all of those improvisers out there that might be listening. What? Writing? Improv? I see improv and improv skills as the most, for me, it's been one of the most valuable skills pursuits that I've spent the last 25 years probably pursuing. And I think the reason I say that is as an actor, improvisation clearly informs my work. It allows me to step into the character and to play around in that character's head, play around in that character's body, take that character into new situations. And we often identify that as role playing. So once you step into the role, you can be anywhere and do anything. You don't necessarily need the script to do that. So it's really allowed me to play. I think that's an important word for me is the word play. Mm-hmm. So improvisation is very valuable as a skill for an actor, but it's an enormously important skill for a writer. And I say that because most, if not all, I would say categorically all of the characters that I have created, I've created through the act of improvisation. They were somewhere inside me. And then I pulled out that little tendril or that little piece of fabric. We're all just such a myriad of different people, different characters.
Yes.
So I pull that little thread out and then I start improvising to see where it goes. The one-woman shows that I've created and performed are simply a result of improvisational work that has become scripted. When Roger Bird and I crafted our very first play long, long, long ago, and we did that with the help of a local director, Doug Raisbeck. Doug and Roger and I worked strongly together on improvisation and, okay, let's take these two people and let's put them in this situation and see what happens. And then we recorded it on film, on tape.
Yes.
And then we simply wrote the lines from what we heard ourselves saying.
Yeah. What was the name of that?
Penumbra. It never got the light of day, but it was a great exercise. And that experience is what led me to my first one-woman show, which is Fear of Frying, which I toured all over the place. It was a great piece of work. It still is.
And then you've done scripts that people know well, like Shirley Valentine.
So, yeah.
Yes. So tell us how you get into a character that everyone sort of has expectations because, I mean, the whole world knows Shirley Valentine.
Yes, they do. But they don't necessarily know my version of Shirley Valentine. And that's another important thing. These great iconic characters, they're out there. And certainly Willie Russell, when he wrote the play, he is a hairdresser. I don't know if he's still practicing as a hairdresser, but anyway, hairdresser in Liverpool. And meeting the women who came into his shop, he got to know them really well and heard their stories and has crafted, well, Educating Rita is another one of his wonderful. And yes, Julie Walters has Educating Rita. We've all seen the film.
Oh, one of
brilliant.
My big time favorites.
That's right. But the thing is that we all know those versions of Shirley Valentine or of Rita. But do we know the version that's inside us? And that's what I think is so interesting about theater for me. It's not that I have to be that version of Shirley Valentine. And in fact, Dave Campbell and I, the director of Shirley Valentine, we worked really, really hard to lighten the piece and take it out of its sadness. There's nothing sad about Shirley. She's a fighter. And we played against all of the sad moments. There's only one. He gave me permission to go there once. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the time, that whole play, she's just fighting back. And I love
and
her.
And enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yes.
I love my own version of Shirley Valentine, and I'm not ashamed to say it.
Did you develop her through improv?
Well, of course, Willie Russell developed her. But through the rehearsals.
Yes.
Then, yes, the improvisation comes in. How am I going to approach this moment? How am I going to approach that moment? And it's a living thing. That's the other thing I love about improvisation. There's a living moment inside each of us. And for an actor, one of the huge struggles we have is to be in the moment, in that moment, as if it's the first time, as if we are having this conversation for the first time. Yes. So essentially, I am improvising right now. Right. I don't know what I'm going to say to you. It's just coming out of my mouth because I'm here with you in this moment, having lived those other moments.
Yes.
They are clearly informed by them, but I'm living this moment. Should we script this, and if I had to do a do-over and say exactly those lines, that's where the struggle comes
in.
How can I take myself back to be in that exact moment?
That fresh, that same sort of emphasis on the same syllables.
Yeah. Oh, and it's so fun.
You know, and your face lights up when you talk about it. So, you know, I looked up some of your students' comments.
Oh, no.
And they love you.
I haven't done that. Don't.
They love you. They're gushing. They're saying that you've changed their perspective or you've impacted their lives.
Cool.
Yeah. But you haven't looked at those comments.
Oh, I would never do that. That's like reading your own reviews. You don't do that.
So tell us about that time. Now, you're not teaching now, or you are still teaching?
I've retired, but I'm still an educator. So there are ways of educating that are within a system, an institutional system, and without. So now I don't have that institutional framework anymore. So I've created Muskoka Stageworks. And the tagline for Muskoka Stageworks is put more play in your life. Go wonder, right?
Wonderful.
So the idea behind it, I've wanted to do this for a long time, and nothing else was sort of leaping out at me. I mean, I work at the Gravenhurst Opera House full-time, working in the professional theater season that they offer, and that goes from May through till October. We're doing some amazing shows
which we want to talk about.
But Muskoka Stageworks is what I kind of do in the off-season and then through the summer as well. So it was set up as a teaching and learning and production opportunity company for people like me who like to play.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm engaging people that I used to teach. Like one of my partners is a young man named David Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Another one is a young woman named Rachel Marr. And these people, we worked together when they were students of mine, and they have come back here to Muskoka to roost. And what better people to engage in your playground than people you've played with before and trust and know and love. And so we are working together to offer classes to children, to young, I call them young people, adolescents.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be doing classes in Gravenhurst, Bracebridge, and now I just had a call from Matt Huddlestone at the Algonquin yesterday. So we're going to be playing the Algonquin, and that will cover people from 7 up to 17. We also are going to offer adult classes and learning opportunities. So many people have asked me, you know, how can I work on my presentational skills? I have to do a public speaking engagement. So I think that's something that improv really helps you with.
And it's terrifying to get up in front of a bunch of people.
Number three on the list, besides, of course, our own demise, our death, or facing the loss of someone we know or love. Speaking in front of other people is the number three fear.
Yeah.
And some people will even rate it as number one. They're more afraid of that than they are of their own death, imagine. So we are providing these opportunities for people to come and learn and play with us and to grow some skills, because improv and scene work and playing in the realm of theater offers such skills that I think it's an untapped resource that people just don't know enough about or are afraid of. And what I try to do, and I guess that's why students say what they do, is that they might come to me all afraid, but what I do know is that I have this way of breaking through that and of supporting it, of encouraging it. But what they tell me is that you let me shine my light so bright. And I don't know what it is you do, but you grow me.
Oh, what a wonderful thing to hear. And so self-esteem and self-confidence, this is a skill that can be used in every walk of life.
Exactly. You have hit the nail on the head. This is not much to do with theater in the sense that I 99% of the people I work with have no interest whatsoever in stepping on the stage in a formal sense. Some do. I mean, some want to go on and do community theater. I have a young woman I'm working with now who she is going to become a teacher. She has, I think she took one course at university. After she worked with me, she took a theater course just out of interest. But she has no desire to become a professional actor. And I get that. It's a hard road to hoe. But she has a desire to stay on the stage, to play, to interact with people. And these kinds of skills that she's learning are going to be absolutely essential for her as a teacher or as someone who wants to make presentations, sales, marketing, all of that sort of thing.
And writers, just think of being able to develop the skill of natural dialogue. You know, dialogue for some people is very, very difficult to write in a natural way. And I could just see that just bouncing off the page once you've done an improv.
Because you hear it.
Yes.
You hear yourself playing and you hear it in your head. And you give it a little life. Now, I should mention also that Muskoka Stageworks is also working with young people to do productions, performance theater as well, just so people don't think that it's all just about process.
Yes.
There is product involved as well. And this summer we're doing Romeo and Juliet in the park at Annie Williams Park in Bracebridge. And we're having a marvelous time working together, these young people and I, in rehearsal. Okay, let's try this. Let's try that. So the improvisational aspect comes into that play as well. Mm. So we're not rewriting Shakespeare, but we are, because we're creating the characters and giving them fresh life. And that is really important. Get that tome, that page onto the stage.
We need to tell our listeners how they can get involved, how they can find out more. So is there one website they can go to
There's
get all of this?
There's a Facebook page right now. Okay. There will be a website.
Okay.
It'll be www.muskokastageworks.com.
Okay.
But right now it's a Facebook page.
Okay.
So you just have to Facebook Muskoka Stageworks.
Perfect.
To find out what's going on.
Perfect.
Yeah, thanks.
And are
for
there
that.
Tickets for Romeo and Juliet that
the
they
The tickets
can...
are going to be available through the Renam Case Theater. That's www.renamcasetheater. RenamCase Theater. And that's in Bracebridge. And also you can get them at the gate. They cost a little more at the gate than they do ahead of time.
Okay.
And we're also offering a special thing this year. We're trying to set up picnic suppers that people can book online. And then they will be waiting there for you. So you can have your picnic in the park. And I've also gone out and bought a bunch of really nice lawn chairs. So if people don't want to drag their own, they can book a lawn chair and have preferred seating up at the front.
And you've thought of everything. And this is you, Rob, and this is how you are. So you've thought of everything. You've thought of the experience, the whole experience.
Well, I guess that comes from being an actor, because you're always putting yourself in other people's shoes.
Well, we have lots more to talk about. We need to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about the other things that you're doing. Our listeners can see you on stage. I've got my tickets for Thumbs, and we're going to talk about that. So we're just going to take a quick break and be back. You're listening to Storylines on Hunter's Bay Radio, 88.7 FM. I'm your host, Christine Cowley. Stay with us. Welcome back to Storylines. I'm your host, Christine Cowley. Today we're speaking with Muskoka actor, director, writer, and educator, Robin Clipsham. Thank you, Robin, for coming by the studio today.
Thank you for having me. I love talking about play. I love talking about anything to do with it. I'm playing right now at the Gravenhurst Opera House.
Yes, and we want to hear more about what you're doing and where we can get tickets and how we can see more of your work.
Well, right now I'm working on a piece with Brian Paul. Paul, who I worked with on Same Time Next Year. That was a really fun piece that we got to do. And last year we worked together. I was off the stage. I was the stage manager. We worked on a piece called Swing Dance together. And it also starred his wife, Deborah Tennant. Well, they have come back and are performing right now on the Gravenhurst Opera House stage. And I'm up in the booth and directed by Dana Tkach. And we are doing Two Across, which is this fabulous play about a couple who meet on a subway and they're both crossword addicts. So it's a very funny piece, very poignant piece, very real piece. And I think audiences, I know that they're loving it.
So it's got a little bit of everything.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. A rom-com, romantic comedy. Yeah. And it plays until July the 1st. And then at the same time, I am in rehearsals with Maya Ardle, who you are going to have on your show next week. And Maya will be a busy, busy girl because we open on July the 5th in a show called Thumbs. And this runs for the entire month of July. And I love this piece because I get to play a small town cop. So if you've ever seen Fargo, you've kind of got, you're on the page.
And I can so see you in that role.
Yeah. But what I'm having fun with in rehearsal, and again, here comes my improvisational background, is I'm playing with the role a little bit. So I just want to advise audience members that if you see me up on the stage and I pull a fast one, in other words, I morph a little bit, please don't think that I've forgotten where I am, who I am, or the role that I'm trying to play. This is all part of the piece and the facades that we wear. Who am I today? Who will I be tomorrow? Can you trust that the mask I present is the one that's really there? So this is part of what I'm playing with in this piece called Thumbs by Rupert Holmes. It's a fabulous whodunit, and it's funny, and it's twisted.
And there's depth, obviously.
Yes. Woohoo. In the way we're playing it anyway. For sure. And then I am going to be directing Romeo and Juliet. We've talked about that in the park. So, I'm directing it right now. And it's going to go up in August 10th to 13th and the 16th to the 18th. So those are the dates for that. At the same time, Marvelous Wondrettes is playing in Gravenhurst. So I need to give them a plug because it stars my very dear friend, Debbie Collins. And Debbie will be familiar to those of you who live in Huntsville because last year she directed Odd Couple that Charisse and I got to do together. So she's in Marvelous Wondrettes. And then Deb returns to work with me. And I'm going to be the stage manager for the show that Dana is coming back to direct. And that's Wake Me When It's Over, written by Vince Gratani, local funny playwright, and music by Rosalind Mills. And this is a musical all about midlife. So you can just imagine you're having one of those horrible meltdown midlife moments, and all you can scream is, wake me when it's over.
And we've all been there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that runs from September 13th to 30th at the Gravenhurst Opera House.
And then you take a breath?
Well, no, because by then, Muskoka Stage Works will be launched, and I'll be working with one of my favorite demographics, cultures, which is youth. I love working with young people. They're so fun. They're so funny. They're so fresh. And they make me feel alive, quite frankly. They just bring such joy to my life.
And so they give back to you and feed that creative energy that you have in abundance, clearly.
Thank you. Well, yeah. And it also becomes time in the fall for Canadian Improv Games. And Canadian Improv Games is an organization that I became part of way back in the 90s. A little flyer came to our school and it said, if you and your students want to experience this, all you need are 5 players. And so there was a girl in our school named Margaret Westling from Bracebridge, and she was doing talent shows, that sort of thing. I said, Margaret, if you can get 4 of your friends, we can do this together. It sounds really fun. Uh-huh. And that was the launch of it. And we've gone on to be gold medal regional winners and one of 20 teams from across Canada. This year, Huntsville won the gold medal. I'm no longer coaching in the school system. I'm a judge now, but I get to coach in through Muskoka Stage Works. So improv is a huge part of my life, as you can tell.
And it's enriched everything you do.
Well, and this is the exciting part. This year, Maya Ardle, who you're going to hear from next week, Maya received a grant from the Ontario Arts Council to launch a project in Gravenhurst called Women's Stories. Mm-hmm. And it was so exciting because she asked me to join her and to bring my improvisational skills to the table as part of this project. And none of us knew how this was going to go. It was all just, okay, we're winging it here. We're going to figure it out. And what we're finding is that part of my work with the women is about opening them up to new ideas, new ways of thinking, new voices, new stories that they're creating on the spot. And what I'm hearing back is this is informing their writing in spades. So Maya has asked me to keep working with her as we develop this mode of working together.
And again, improv leading into other modes of creativity, other ways of expressing ourselves on the page or on the stage or just in life.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
Even writing that is developing as we speak. And again, no spoilers, but Karen Hood Caddy, who's a well-known novelist from Muskoka, who now divides her time. I mean, she's involved in a screenplay that's going to be filmed from one of her books. This is exciting stuff. Karen is the real deal.
And we have to say, Karen introduced us.
Yes.
That's
how we met.
So much to thank her for.
Yes. So Karen Hood Caddy and I are developing a script together, and much of it is being informed, again, by my character work and by her writing, and we're working together to craft this piece.
And the learning process for Karen, which I've been so blessed to be a part of, has in turn spun out into my writing and my process. And isn't it so wonderful when artists connect, creators connect, and we inform, as a great word, we inform each other's practice? It's wonderful.
It is. And yeah. I think, again, if more of us would open up and find these ways to play, we would find those playful connections with other people, and maybe we wouldn't be so grumpy all the time. I don't know.
Well, you know, this is something that comes up. I'm not a joiner, and I always say that. I like to just sit alone and write. And yet, when I have joined, when I have put myself out there and really do I want to, there is never, ever, ever a time when I regret having done that.
I'm the same way. People tell me, you're an extrovert, Robin. You're off the map. And I am an extrovert. But if you've ever done the test, you'll know what I'm talking about. And there is a bar graph that actually is a horizontal, not a vertical bar graph, but just a very horizontal line. And I am just a tiny bit over the center of the line. One way leads to introversion.
Yes.
The other side leads to extroversion. I'm just a tiny bit over the extrovert side.
Yeah.
So I'm like you. I like my private space. I like my quiet time. I like my thoughtful, reflective periods. But I also find that my best moments are moments when I connect with other people and create.
And then that spills over.
It informs everything.
Yeah. And we're out of time. And
of course.
It has been such a pleasure. I just feel like I'm so filled up now. I'm going to go home and finish that novel.
Good work. Great. So, well, if you ever want to play with Muskoka Stageworks, look us up. We will be in your community.
We're going to have a stampede of listeners going to that website today.
Hope so.
I hope so, too.
Thanks, Christine.
You've been listening to Storylines on Hunter's Bay Radio. I'm Christine Cowley, and I'm here every Thursday morning at 10:05 a.m. to talk to authors and book folks about books and the writing life. Thanks for listening. Next week, we have with us director, actor, Maya Ardahl. So please join us then.